shame to joy. Having children should be the most joyous thing in the world, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes the timing isn't right, the relationship isn't right, the finances aren't right, and all these things work together against a happy outcome. In other cases, the desire for children is there, but the opportunity isn't, and hearts grieve for the hopeless waiting. We're going to see both situations afflict the woman in our devotional today. For Elizabeth and Mary, motherhood came with shame instead of joy. Elizabeth came from Aaron's respected family line of priests and married into the priestly family descended from Abijah. When King David felt compelled to build a house of worship, he divided the Levites into family groups and gave each an opportunity to minister in specific areas. Each family group was assigned to serve 2 weeks out of the year, and this is where we find Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, selected by lot to serve in that specific time slot for his family. Not only were Zechariah and Elizabeth devout, but we learn that they were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They believed in God and followed his principles faithfully, not just because of their roles and responsibilities, but because of their own heart commitment to doing God's will. How do I know this? Because we learned that they had no children, because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Why should her barrenness make any difference, you may ask? Because Old Testament teaching suggested that barrenness was a sign of God's disfavor. Deuteronomy explains, if you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. None of your men or women will be childless. Thus, Elizabeth's barrenness could indicate that she was not a faithful follower as she had professed. What's worse is that her barrenness may have been thought to result from her unfaithfulness to her husband. For Scripture also says, may the people know that the Lord's curse is upon you when he makes you infertile, causing your womb to shrivel and your abdomen to swell. Hence, she could be judged by her community as an adulteress. Add to this that according to Jewish law, her husband had the right to divorce her for not bearing him children, and you can see how much shame Elizabeth felt by her barrenness. We certainly see the anguish of women like Abraham's Sarah, Isaac's Rebekah, Jacob's Rachel, and Elkanah's Hannah because of their inability to bear children. As in many cultures around the world, a woman's sole role was to have children, as we see from the moment of human creation, when God declares his blessings upon them and commands them to be fruitful and multiply. Thus, we can see for Elizabeth that her very identity was shaken by her inability to give her husband children. What things about yourself have shaken your identity? It's interesting that even after the miracle of her pregnancy, she went into seclusion for 5 months. Although she declares how kind the Lord is, he's taken away my disgrace of having no children, she still hides herself away from society. Some commentators suggest that she was concerned for the safety of her unborn child, given how very old she is. Others have suggested that she's awaiting the arrival of Mary and the divine moment of their meeting. Both, of course, could be true, but what if she was ashamed by the fact that her pregnancy actually revealed that she was still intimate with Zechariah in these their later years? I know that even today, when women are giving birth in their late 40s and 50s, it makes people wonder. The reality is that her delight should have been able to be eagerly shared with her entire community, especially the community that had frowned or ridiculed her for her barrenness before this. It was the angel Gabriel that revealed to Mary Elizabeth's miracle. For Gabriel tells her, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6 months," and declares, "For the word of God will never fail." Have you ever been embarrassed at God's miracle and did not openly tell others about it? Makes us think, huh? Fortunately, Elizabeth became another joyful witness of the Messiah coming into the world, as when she met Mary, she declares, "God has blessed you, Mary, above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." And she says, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Is that really the crux of the matter here? Did Elizabeth have within her the trembling seeds of doubt that she might lose this babe within her? That this gift was just too incredible to imagine? That the words of the angel to her husband may not be fulfilled in her because she was not worthy? In what ways have you doubted the promises of God? And what has this done to your testimony? Fortunately, by the time she births John, her faith has risen, and whatever shame she earlier felt has disappeared, for at the naming of John, a bold Elizabeth stops the family's attempt to name him after his father and says, "No, his name is John," in obedience to the angel Gabriel's instruction. When Zachariah silently agrees to this unexpected name, his lips are opened and he praises God, prophetically speaking of his son's mighty calling as messenger for the Messiah. For both Elizabeth and Zachariah, their shame has turned to joy and their silence to praise in the God who does the impossible. Well, how does Elizabeth's experience relate to Mary's? We see a similar feeling of shame overtaking Mary when she's told by the angel Gabriel that she's to bear a child. Even though she's been told that she has found favor with God, she questions the pronouncement. How can this happen? I'm a virgin. She's keenly aware of what might happen to her and her culture if she's found pregnant outside of marriage. Not only would she be shunned by the community, but Joseph would have the right to divorce her for her apparent unfaithfulness, as he attempts to do before Gabriel intervenes. According to the seventh commandment in the Old Testament, if there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. The law stated that a betrothed woman was already considered a wife, but without the marital privileges. Thus, by engaging in premarital sex, she's condemned as an adulteress, and death is the immediate punishment. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for Mary to tell Joseph that she was with child, even though she knew it was a miraculous and not carnal event? Have you ever had to face a situation in which you knew you were innocent, but others condemned you as guilty? How did God turn that around for you? For Mary, she knew all the horrible ramifications that could have developed if the angel had not intervened with Joseph and convinced him to not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, her firstborn son was to be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It is certainly a testimony of Joseph's faith that he received this news as an absolute truth from God and took Mary as his wife. In the same way, any potential shame that Mary could have felt was returned to joy as she experienced confirmation from Gabriel, Joseph, and Elizabeth that God has taken notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. In the same way, we want to look to the lives of Elizabeth and Mary and the challenges they faced and see how their shame turned to joy. Let's look to areas in our own lives as we close out this old year where we let shame take hold of us and strangle the joy from our lives. There are well over 330 verses of joy in the Bible, one for almost every day of the year. Let joy be the sturdy root of our souls, nourishing our faith, establishing our praise, and feeding our delight in the Lord's presence. For those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.